And now we're going to change the pace even a little bit more. We have with us the police. They're going to come in every couple of months and talk to us about different things. But I have today with me the Acting Sergeant, James Savin from the Yarra Rangers Highway Patrol. And, of course, we're going to be talking mainly about the road trauma and what they're going to try and do to reduce it. So, first of all, James, welcome.
Thanks, Alan. Wonderful to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you too. Now, I just want to make a quick comment to you. We're obviously going... You're part of the Highway Patrol, so part of you is handing out infringements notices. But I want to make a quick statement to you and see whether you agree with this. See, fines are really voluntary, aren't they? Like, if you don't want to get caught speeding, don't speed. If you don't want to shoplift, don't shoplift. So really, the person, while they might make a stupid decision, is no good then blaming the police that they got fined for doing it, because, let's be honest, that's exactly, they put themselves out of the position, didn't they?
Absolutely. It's decisions that they've made, and so everything comes with consequences. So, you know, just going a little bit over in speed, you know, and police catch you, then, yes, you're going to receive a penalty notice. But it's not the fault of the police you got the penalty notice.
It's your own
decision.
And stupidity.
Yes.
And that's I guess we've all done it. But, I mean, I repeat it, it is a voluntary situation, because you made the decision, no matter whether you were distracted or whatever you were doing, then it's your fault. You can't blame the police when you get caught.
Absolutely spot on.
And the other thing is too that, and I just want to make this comment too, that I've spoken to a number of police, one of the worst jobs for these guys is, I think they call it the death knock, where they've got a knock on the door and tell someone that mum or dad or husband or wife or daughter or son will never be home. And they know that that's life is going to change forever. And while you talk about these things, 10 kilometres, and I'm going to ask the sergeant in a minute, that 10 kilometres can make the difference between having a bad accident to it being a fatality, isn't there?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of the hardest things that Highway Patrol members have to do is to attend fatal collisions.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we're attending too many this year.
That's what we're going to talk about.
We are, yes.
Yep. So, obviously you're getting information all the time. What is it that we've got sillier? Are we getting more impatient? What do you think? You're on the road. What do you think? Why are we getting this? Well, I don't say it's a spike. It's just going up.
It is just going up. It's so hard to quantify that sort of thing, Alan. But one of the things we're finding, and it's part of it's come out from a study that Victoria Police has done recently, that that speeding, impaired driving, so alcohol and drugs, seatbelt non-compliance, would you believe? I mean, we've had education out there for so long saying how important seatbelts are in cars.
But see, I can't believe how... I mean, when I was about... I know when I first got my first couple of cars, we didn't have seatbelts, but it must have been 40-something years, 50 years. Why would people not wear a seatbelt
now? Well, exactly right. It's... You pull so many people over and they go, oh, I've just come from down the road. I was just about to put it on. But, you know, it's only that short journey and something happens in that journey, and the seatbelt is the difference between life and death.
Yeah.
And it's especially strange in this day and age when we have cars that when you don't wear your seatbelt, they start beeping at you.
Yeah.
So what some people do is they plug the seatbelt in and they sit on top of it to stop the beeping noise. Absolutely insane.
Why would you do it?
And, you know, after you've been to a collision where, you know, somebody hasn't worn a seatbelt and, you know, the injuries they've sustained as a result of that, you know, it's quite, it's really disturbing. And that affects everybody who attends that collision. Yeah, down to, your CFA volunteers who are there for rescue. It's not their permanent job, and they turn up and they have to see that type of road trauma. Yep. The ripple effect of that one decision not to wear a seatbelt is huge.
Yep. Now, and the other thing that... While we all, and we're going to talk about death toll and all that, but one of the things that I remember reading, and this really shocked me, that I saw a write-up, they were talking about a fatality, but then the other person said, that's not necessary, that's bad enough because that person's died, but I was involved, and I can't even wipe my own backside.
Mm. Yeah, the mental trauma.
Yeah.
That can come from these things. And it affects everybody, to the police officers as well, who have to attend these things. And as you say, to the police member who then has to go and knock on a door. I've had to do it over my career.
Yep.
At different times, you know, of the morning or the evening, where we've got to knock on this door and we absolutely change these people's lives with that knock.
It's not going to change for a day or two. It is changing forever.
Yes. And that's one of the biggest things, the amount of people that one decision affects, that decision not to wear a seatbelt, that decision to drink and drive, that decision not to have enough sleep before you get in the car for a long trip.
Many years ago, I had to go to Pentridge. Now, I wasn't going as an inmate.
Really? How long did you get?
No, I knew you'd say that. But we used to sell, I was in the timber industry, and they used to buy timber because of... they used to make furniture and all sorts of stuff out of Pentridge. And when that door clanged behind me and you went in one door and you had to go into an airlock and then another door would open and you'd go in. And I panicked and I thought, now I knew that I was only going to be there for half an hour and I could have said to the bike, hey, mate, I've got to get out of here. Imagine the trauma of Mr. and Mrs. Average, who make a stupid mistake, and then they wind up, now Pentridge is not there, but going to somewhere knowing you're not coming out of here for 2 years.
Oh, it'd be the scariest thing I think could anybody happen in anybody's life.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, you make one of these silly decisions, and you kill somebody on the road, and mandatory sentencing says that if you're found guilty, you are going to prison, regardless of what your background is.
And that's something that I really want to talk about this afternoon, is we can all make those silly mistakes and not only is your life changed, but imagine going to prison.
Mm.
I couldn't stand it.
No, I couldn't think of anything more frightening.
Yeah. And you guys will have been there.
Well, not personally.
But as visitors.
I've spoken to people who have.
And no one wants to go a second time.
No.
All right, I've got to take a quick break and we're going to be back with more.
Hi, this is Johnny O'Keefe. I'd like to wish my very many friends throughout the country the very best of wishes for Christmas, and may everything for the new year come true for you. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Pretty ribbons of blue.
talking to Acting Sergeant James Ovine from the Yarra Rangers Highway Patrol, and we've been talking about the road toll, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. But also, there is a spike in it, or I don't say it's a spike, and I think James said that it's just gradually going up, and we need to stop it because it's horrendous. And it's not only the road toll, as we were saying before, it's the people that are damaged permanently that will never ever see their life again the same. But I believe the police have got a strategy to work on it.
Yes, Alan. So one of the things we're looking at, you know, this year alone we've had 47 lives lost across the state of Victoria.
47?
Yeah. And this time last year it was 40. So you know, we're on the increase. In this area, Yarra Rangers, we are lower. So there were four this time last year. Yep. There have been two this year, very tragic ones.
I think we had one just over a week or so ago with the Melbourne Highway being closed, wasn't there?
Yes, I believe there was.
Yep.
Yeah. One of the things what Victoria Police has done is there's a new road policing strategy, and it's re-looking at the way that we do our business to try and stop this type of event from occurring, these serious injury collisions, these life-changing collisions.
Yep.
And it's all about working towards zero, which is, you know, we want no deaths on our roads and we want no serious injuries to occur on our roads.
And with the cars getting more and more things in them as far as safety devices, you know, with the braking that'll stop you and that, we should be going down, not up.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things we want to do is that there'll be more police out there doing road policing enforcement. And what it's about is it's people have got to understand that it doesn't matter. It could be anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
If you're breaking the law on our roads, then you'll get pulled over. And one of the reasons why we're going to be very hard on enforcement is because of something we call the halo effect. And that is the intercepted driver who gets a penalty notice for what they've done wrong will obviously have an effect on them.
Yep.
But other road users passing by will see the police car there. They'll see the red and blue flashing lights. And that should occur to them of, oh, the police are about.
Yep.
I should pay more attention to what I'm doing on the road.
Yep.
And then the guy who gets the infringement notice will more than likely tell his mates.
He'll whinge.
And then he'll tell his mates how much the penalty notice cost.
Yep.
And they'll go, well, for the sake of putting on my seatbelt, this is the hope, for the sake of putting on my seatbelt, that'll save me, you know, that $400-odd.
Yep.
And it's also, you know, the guy who had the infringement notice, it'll be in his memory.
Yep.
And so the next time he jumps in his car, you know, the idea is that he'll stick by the speed limit and he'll wear his seatbelt. And he won't drink and drive.
And I guess, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was just going to ask you something too. Is it true now that all the highway patrol cars can drug test? Because a lot of people used to think, oh, well, it'll only be the booze bus or something. But
absolutely. All the highway patrol cars will test for what we call a preliminary oral fluid test.
Yep.
And we'll be doing more and more of it. Plus, it's now been rolled out across the Yarra Ranges. A lot of the valley stations out here. So the div vans that are driving around, they have...
Oh, the divvy vans can do it too.
Yes, yeah. Not all of them, but it's getting more and more. So a lot out here in the valley now have that capability. So it doesn't matter if you're pulled over by a highway patrol car or by the local div van.
Yep.
Chances are you're going to get drug tested. You'll get breath tested for alcohol and you'll get drug tested. And if you're over, you know, first time offence, you're losing your licence for 6 months.
Yeah, and sometimes that's underplayed, isn't it? Because you think to yourself, I mean, I had a minor stroke about 2 years ago and I wasn't allowed to drive for a month. It's not the big things because you cancel that or you get one of your relatives to take you. But it's when you think, oh, just pop in the car, go down the... no, I can't do that. Or I'll just, no, I can't do that.
No.
And I'll go to the picture. I can't do it.
Yeah.
So people need to understand, if they haven't lost it, and I never lost mine, but the specialist told me not to drive for a month because it was very minor, but you just don't realise the effect that can have on your life.
And once again, you know, for people who have lost their licence for this sort of thing, they're hopefully telling other people of the lesson that they've learnt. And, you know, as you say, having your driver's licence, we take it for granted, but to lose it for 6 months be a massive, you know, blow to a person.
Now, while we talk about this, that you've got a long weekend, I think, coming up next weekend.
Yes.
And then we've got Easter. So the Highway Patrol going to be doing something for those?
Absolutely. So, so Labor Day long weekend, Operation Arid kicks in on the 7th of March.
How do you get these names?
So, many different ways. This one is a statewide operation, so I don't know how they came up with the name, but it keeps rolling out each year.
Yeah.
So this one, runs on from the 7th of March. You'll see an increased amount of highway patrol cars and ordinary uniform cars, general duties cars, out on the road, more breath testing sites.
Also, on top of that, there are quite a few unmarked cars too, aren't
there? Well, there are, yes. Yeah. And so, that can have a big effect on person. When you're driving along and you see an unmarked car that's had someone pulled over, so with the red and blues going, that, they say, difficult to quantify this thing, but the experts say that can have a greater effect on a person than seeing a marked police car with someone pulled over.
Yeah, because you can look for the marked car, can't you? But if all of a sudden there's this car with blue, or I had the situation, I forget where I was driving now, car was following me and I was just doing whatever I did, and all of a sudden the lights come on and the siren comes on and he's out past me, and I think, I didn't know that guy was sitting there behind me.
Yeah, and another great tool we have is also the police motorcycles.
I haven't seen them so much until the last little while. There seems to be a lot of them around here.
Yeah, so we're really, there's a lot of tasking for them to be out on the valley. One of our last serious injury and fatal collisions was up around the Powertown sort of area.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got an operation that's coming out soon, where we're going to be increasing our motorcycles and our normal police cars running up and down these motorcycle routes.
Right.
Just to remind our recreational motorcycle riders that the roads up on the Black Spur and the Reefton Spur and out towards Powertown are not racetracks.
Yep.
It's nice to have a ride out there. The scenery is beautiful.
Yep.
But tragedy is only just around the corner if you're riding too quick.
Yep.
You're riding without the proper experience on bikes that are highly powered.
Yep.
So our motorcycles are going to be up there, our police motorcycles, as well as the normal highway patrol cars, enhancing that safety message to everybody.
And with a motorcycle, there's nothing between you and the oncoming car.
Absolutely. Yep. So we can, by law, you've got to wear an approved helmet.
Yep.
But the rest of the gear is up to the rider. And we're going to be pulling these guys over and saying to them, have you assessed what you're wearing? Why aren't you wearing the right gear? You should really invest in it.
Imagine if you came off a bike and you're skidding along on the asphalt.
Absolutely, yeah.
Got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
I get wings to fly.
welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 2:34. Just a quick reminder, at 3 o'clock, Greg Carrick will be along with the Oz Indie Show, always a great show, between 3 and 5. And, of course, I'll be back on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and More, and then I'll be back on Sunday night with a rock and roll hit parade, plenty of the 60s rock and roll. And next week we've got two interviews. One will be our private... we'll have the council connections, and then we'll have our private investigator, Pete, will be in, and I'm just not too sure who the other one is, but we've certainly got three interviews coming up. But we're talking to Acting Sergeant James from the Yarra Rangers Highway Patrol, and we're talking about all things to do with the road toll. And as we were saying before, it's not just the fatalities. We're talking about the people that have their lives have been altered forever, and also families who will never be the same again. You wanted to talk about a road crime tasking.
Yeah, road crime tasking team. It's so in answer to these situations where we have people engaging in high risk intentional driving behaviour, so people going and doing burnouts in our roads with, you know, you go into a nice car park and you're seeing it's all torn up and burnt rubber everywhere. Apart from being unsightly, it's also a great risk. These guys are putting themselves at immense risk by engaging.
They can lose control of
themselves. Absolutely. And they can take out themselves, they could take out a pedestrian, you know, and we have to protect them against themselves.
Yep.
A lot of these guys video themselves.
They brag about it.
So one of the things, so we've got the road crime tasking team, and what they do is they're constantly monitoring all forms of social media, and they're also very reliant on Crime Stoppers, so reports from members of the public. Yep. Crime Stopper reports completely anonymous, but it gives us the information to start the investigation into finding these guys.
Yep.
And what happens is they'll do a full investigation, and then the next thing these drivers know is there's a bang on their front door at 6 o'clock in the morning, and this crime team will be through the front door with a search warrant. They'll be seizing their phones, seizing their computers, and then they'll seize their car. And then when it goes to court, they'll be making application to the magistrate to have their car forfeited to the state, so they never get it back.
And some of these guys love these cars, don't they?
They absolutely do.
And they can lose them overnight.
Yep, absolutely. And it's to protect them from themselves, and it's also to protect other members of the public.
Yep.
You've got people who are driving into some of these scenic areas, and all of a sudden they come around a corner, and there'll be some hoon there doing a burnout in front of them. It's not acceptable behaviour.
I don't want to talk about the place because this had nothing to do with the organisers. Mm-hmm. The organisers, but I was at a place the other night, and some idiots were doing burnouts out the front, and there were people standing really close to the road, so they could easily have wiped a few of them out.
Now, and once again, it's that ripple effect from that. You know, one of them hits a pedestrian, and then all the emergency services who have to see that, the families who then get the knocks on the door, as we were saying before, you know, the tragedy, it just ripples out from that one act of, I want to go and burn the rubber off my back tyres of my car. It's not acceptable behaviour, and our road crime tasking team will find them and will prosecute them.
And the other thing is, too, the cost of tyres.
Oh.
You wouldn't want to be... Like, I find it bad enough to put in tyres on my own car.
Absolutely. And ripping fuel involved. But there's also the cost of the public purse. They're ripping up these car parks.
Yeah,
good point. The Shire or whoever owns those car parks has to go in there and relay them. And that's money that's being spent on that rather than going and fixing other vital infrastructure, like improving our roads.
And we need the roads improved.
Absolutely.
Could I just ask you, and this is only a personal question, and if you don't want to answer it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that many of the or any sort of percentage of the road accidents that are happening now are because of the roads? And the only reason why I mention that, I've seen people having to swerve to miss a pothole, and you think, gee, if a car was there, you know, that could have been a disaster.
Well, I don't have any specific instances to give you. There are certainly some circumstances where road infrastructure plays a part, and that's very important. So we when we attend any collision where we believe infrastructure is or potholes, etc., a cause, we speak to our partners at Vic Roads and to the council, and we work on getting them fixed up. Or if we identify a piece of road where we go, this could be a problem for our road users, we make sure that our partners at Vic Roads know about it, so they can do these essential works.
What plays, and this is not just talking about you personally, but do the police often intervene? I noticed the high, this has happened a few years ago between Coldstream and Hillsville here, they dropped the speed limit from 100 to 80. Do the police very often say to Vic Roads or whoever it is, look, we just think these speed limits are too high?
Absolutely. So we make recommendations, and a good point in case is out on the Melba Highway out near Yerring, also running from the Maroondah Highway all the way up to Yarra Glen on the Melba.
I travelled that yesterday.
Yeah, and it's one of our major holiday arterials. Yep. Now, what, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, that had a 100k speed limit in the middle there.
Yep.
And there were a number of serious injury and fatal collisions.
Yep.
It was then lowered to 80, and that was one of our recommendations when these collisions occurred. And since then, as far as I know, touch wood, there hasn't been a fatality in that stretch of road since it's been lowered down to 80. So, yeah, absolutely. Cool. Infrastructure can play a big role, and speed limits play a big role.
I was up there yesterday, as I just said to you, and but I used to go up that way for work every month. This is a few years ago. And I can't believe it, but I came on this one morning. It was between Yarra Glen and Yea, I think, when you're getting up into the hills. Mm-hmm. Some idiot was behind me, and there was a car in front of me. He pulled out and he passed me over double lines, going up the hill. And the worst bit was he went over the top of the hill on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
So if there was a car just sitting coming over there... I can't understand. And if he's done it once, he's probably done it more than once.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, these are the people we want to catch.
Yeah.
And we want to stop them from doing this because of the lives that they affect through that one stupid decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. I'm talking to Acting Sergeant James Seven from the Yarra Rangers Highway Patrol, and we're talking about all things road toll. And it's not just the person that we've been talked about that's actually in the accident. It's the families. It's a huge amount of people to get involved. So we really can't stress it enough that, and 5 or 10 Ks can be the difference between a person living or dying or a person becoming a paraplegic. And I know we're heavy on it, but let's be honest, I don't want it to happen to me and I don't want to do it to anyone else. Anyway, community engagement.
Community engagement, yes. It's a big thing about within our new road safety strategy. Yep. We want to talk to people. We want members of the public to talk to us. We want them to ask us questions about, what is the right car to drive? What are the road rules in relation to different things? And we always look to attend events where we can engage with the community. Yep. And as an example, like next Sunday, what's it, 2nd of March, next Sunday, an excellent opportunity, the Monbolt Car Show. Up at Monbolt Car Show, run by, pretty sure it's organised by the Monbolt Fire Brigade. Helps a lot of the community groups fundraise there.
But I think Rotary's involved.
Rotary's involved, yep. So lots of great groups. The Scouts are up there, but we'll also be there. We're going to have a display. We've had one there for the past 3 years.
Yep.
We'll have one of our police Highway Patrol motorcycles there. One of our BMW cars will be there. I'll be there.
Yep.
And also members of the local Monbolt Police will be there as well. And happy to, have questions asked, where we're happy to answer questions on road safety, anything people want. If we don't know the answer to something, we'll go and find out. But that's one of the key things is engaging with our community so that they know, what you can do out on the roads, what you can't do. I heard from your guest before there was a discussion about e-scooters. I didn't hear the full amount, but the rules have all changed on that, and that's because the e-scooters can be so dangerous.
Yeah.
So,
and with the rules change, you still see them doing stupid
things
too.
And so we have parents who go and buy their kids e-scooters. We'd welcome them to come and have a chat with us to find out what the rules are around e-scooters, because we want them and we want their kids to be safe out there. Yep. Yeah.
I guess, one of the things, and I'm just going to ask your comment on, I guess one of the things from the Highway Patrol officer, he was happy to go home at night, and so I didn't book anyone and I didn't attend any major motor accidents.
No, absolutely. But we know that that's not going to be the case.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But, we'd like to, we don't want to see the same people reoffending.
Yeah.
We'd rather they travel without having to have interaction. Let me say that again. We want them to have positive interaction with the highway patrols.
Yeah.
I think your phone's ringing.
No, it shouldn't be. So we'll keep talking.
Okay. You're going to see more and more police out on the road. You're going to see, what have we got? We've got, as I said, the Labor Day long weekend. We've got operations where we're bringing highway patrol units in from Knox and Maroondah to highway patrol, and they're going to be hitting this area really hard, so we can, once again, it's that deterrent factor and also that visibility, so the people who are doing the right thing will see police out there and will feel safer about using our roads. We've got the motorcycle operation coming up. We've also got one we're doing with the sheriffs, Alan, which is really important.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people out there who are just continually breaking the law on our roads. Yep. They're getting caught. They're receiving fines and they're simply not paying their fines. And so they're not,
true.
So one of the sheriff's job is to get that money.
Yep.
And so we're doing operations with the sheriffs using our number plate recognition technology on our cars.
Yep.
We'll be setting up places where these people will be waved into our checkpoints.
Yep.
We'll check them to see their license status, are they impaired, anything like that, and we'll prosecute them if we find that. And then the sheriffs will have a chat with them.
Yep.
And there'll be things like if they have big fines and they're not making not paying them off, their cars will be clamped or their cars will be towed away. So these people have broken the law and they need to be brought to account.
Well, I guess, pardon me, that's part of the whole thing. Like, it's not going to work if you issue them a fine, they don't put a part of it.
Absolutely, yes,
and they get off.
And once again, this is a thing where when these people get pulled in and the sheriffs say this is what's happening to recoup the fine, these people will hopefully go away and tell their friends and say, don't get the fine in the first place, because, you do and you ignore it, there are consequences of that. Your car gets clamped, your car gets towed away. You know, you go to court and the court puts a mandatory thing on you, any money you do have, that it's got to be paid. So, yeah, we're looking at every aspect to try and get this road safety message through to people.
Now, obviously, a lot of the people that you pull up are first-timers or second-timers. Mm. Out of the percent, and again, it's probably not fair to ask you, but I always ask these questions anyway, out of the percentage of people you pull up, say, per 100, how many of you would be what I'd call just absolute offenders? They do it all the time.
There is a proportion, yes. I can't say 50-50.
Would it be less than that, or would it, would you find a lot of them?
I reckon it would be around 50-50. There's quite a few cars that you pull over and you go and look at their driving record, and you've just caught them for an offence.
Yep.
And you look at their driving record and you say, "This isn't your first rodeo. This is you know, these people who, you know, they're allowed to accrue 12 demerit points." They've hit that 12 demerit points. Then they've gone on with a demerit point bond, which is like a second chance. And then we catch them again, you know, and their license gets suspended, and they turn around and go, "Oh, this has just cost me my job because you've just taken my license from me."
Yeah, but
we haven't. You've done that by, you've had all these chances to adjust your behaviour on the road, and you still haven't done it. And the consequence of that is, you're losing your license.
You're going to lose your license.
Yeah,
and a lot of that stuff, it's mandatory, isn't it?
Like, absolutely.
It's not you as a officer thinks, well, you'll lose your license. I mean, it's if they're stupid enough to do it.
Yep. And it's not like this is the, you know, just being created yesterday. You know, the demerit point system has been around for a particularly long time. It's the same as education on drink driving.
Yep.
I mean, you know, when did we start those ads about 0.05 back in the 70s and 80s? You know, they've been around for a long time. Everybody knows that the drink and drive,
and
you'll
I'm
get
amazed
done.
That you, when we started this interview, you told me that people are still not wearing seatbelts.
Yeah.
I mean, God, strike a light. I mean, how do you ever get that through?
We get the message through to them by saying, you know, here's a $500 fine.
Yeah. And people are always complaining about things being tough. As we started off, this is only a voluntary fine. I mean, you're the one who created
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It's all what we... Our aim at the end of the day, you know, Highway Patrol might come across as the nasty people who are handing out these infringement notices. We are there. We want to make it so that not only our roads are safe, but that the people driving on the roads feel safe driving on them.
Well, and it's not only the person that you're trying to protect is the idiot who's driving too fast or doing stupid things, going over double lines or whatever they might want to do, but it's a person who's, like I was telling you that story before, the person that comes
who's on the other side of the hill.
On the other side of the hill. Like, he's doing nothing but driving to work.
Yep. It's the innocent person travelling in the opposite direction. It's the person who's obeying the traffic light.
Yep.
It's, you know, we want them to feel safe about being out on the roads, and that's why our aim is to remove the people who refuse to comply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With us running out of time, is there any other little points or brief points that you'd like to bring up before we have to call it quits?
I think that one of the biggest things to emphasise, apart from everybody having a good long weekend and just being careful out there, is also the bit about to Crime Stoppers. You know, if you see somebody who's committing an offence, and you know that they're doing it, they're doing burnouts or they're driving whilst impaired, jump online. Or jump on the phone, get onto Crime Stoppers. It's completely anonymous. Pass those details on. We will investigate it. And if we can prosecute somebody, or even just if it's a case, if we don't have enough evidence to prosecute it, we can go to these people and say, hey, be on notice. Change your behaviour because you're on our radar now. You know, that could stop the next serious injury or fatal collision occurring.
I actually talked to Crime Stoppers once a month. Now, just before we go on, we've had a phone call which is hung up. They want to talk to you about attending an event in April.
Okay.
So if that person likes to ring back, look, James is tied up with me at the moment. If you ring back straight on 3 o'clock, because I'm sure James will want to get away, but if you ring back straight on 3 o'clock, same number, I'm sure that James will have a quick word with you. But please, I'm sorry, but you've dropped out. All right, so now let's again mention Sunday, the Mumbai Car Show. I love old cars. Everybody does.
It's going to be fantastic.
Like old cars.
Yeah, and there's going to be some good things up there, sausages or stuff like that. But also, police motorcycle, police car. I don't know. Usually we have the divvy van up there. Cleaned out, of course.
Yep.
So, you know, if you need to lock your children in the back of it, it'll be sitting there. Unfortunately, we can't keep them locked up in there for too long. But, great community event and a great opportunity for us to get out there and chat with members of the community, especially in our driving community.
And I do believe, and this is just off the subject because we're very close to running out of time, mm-hmm. I do believe you've got a historical society that there is. The police.
Yes. I don't know if they're coming up there this year.
No, but where's it based?
I don't know. It's there goes your phone again. it's to do with our police museum, but they've probably had a. I would say they've got a Facebook page that people can look up and search for them. They've got some beautiful cars, but I don't know if they're coming up to the car show this year. But you do see them around.
Yeah, I'd like to go and see them. That's the main reason why I'd like to know where it is. I'd like to go and have a look at it. Look, thank you for your time for coming in. We'll be talking to someone from the police, I think, in 2 months' time. So thanks, James, and I hope you can get some of these people off the road.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thanks.